see on this very damp evening. Glad that you're here. And trust we can learn some good things from the Word of God this evening. Let's have our prayer. Father, thank you for your grace to us, your goodness. Pray for your blessing on the Word, Lord. Challenge us that we might live as we ought in these difficult days we face continually. And give your blessings, Lord, and lead by your Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, my question tonight is, who says it's easy to be a Christian? Now, it's a common idea among many folks that, well, if you just get saved, you've got it made then. Your problems are all gone. Your sins are gone. Old habits will disappear. You won't have any troubles anymore. You'll have plenty of money in the bank. You'll stop fighting with your husband or wife or whatever. And everything's great now that you're a Christian. And the children sing a song, a little chorus. I was trying to remember if children still sang choruses or not. And I had some of my grandkids the other night and I asked them. And sure enough, they still do. And that's good. I don't work with children anymore. But they used to have a little chorus they'd sing. And it goes like, maybe you know it. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. And then they go real fast. I'm in, right up, right down, happy all the time. You know that chorus? Sing it with me once, okay? I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Hope you got the motion better than I did. I'm not too good at that anymore. But anyway, that's an interesting thought. But I wonder, happy all the time? Which planet did that man who wrote that song live on? I don't quite see it that way. And I want to warn you this evening, that's not the way it really is. Now, the Bible warns us that the Christian life is not all fun and games, you know. And it tells us that sometimes bad things happen to good people. I'd like you to look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 for our jumping off text here this evening. Jesus is speaking, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. This is what he said. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, that means happy are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, several times he uses that word persecuted and revile you and troubles and all those things. And he's mentioning there. And that doesn't sound like happy all the time. Now, others in the Bible agree with that. The psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, be sure they'll persecute you also. And again, he said, in this world you shall have persecution. Peter, who was an expert on some of these things, says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to come upon you. And again, he said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. And again, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Suffer. Now, you see, my friends, the Bible is filled with passages that warn us and guarantee us and assure us that the common lot of God's people is often suffering and trials and reproach and persecution and afflictions and difficulties of all sorts and varieties. You say, well, I thought it says in the Bible, rejoice in the Lord always. All right, let's make a distinction. Happiness or sorrow is how you feel. Rejoicing is what you do. There's a world difference in between the two. Now, you look through the Bible and notice God's heroes of faith. Were they always happy like they should have been? Well, Moses, remember? after he led those children of Israel around in the wilderness for almost 40 years, and they were complaining and rebelling and giving him all kinds of trouble. Finally, he said he'd had enough, and he asked the Lord, "Do I have to keep carrying these people around like carrying a bunch of crying babies?" Paraphrasing modern language, that's what he said. And, he had problems. And Job, there's a man who lost everything, you know. One day his herds of cattle were all gone, his camels, his donkeys, his oxen, and his sheep, everything gone. And then his children having a party, and the roof fell in, a tornado killed them all, same day. And eventually his wife said, "Job, why don't you just give up and die?" That was very friendly. And his health was gone, boils all over his body. And he said, "My grief is heavier than the sands of the sea." Now, he spoke from experience. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What about David? His whole life was full of problems, you know. First of all, he was fighting with his enemies. His baby died. His own son rebelled against him. His trusted friends deserted him, abandoned him, and went off in a rebellion against him. I mean, his life was full of misery and trials. And he mentions that often in the Psalms. And Peter, well, he had a difficult life, but how did he end? Crucified up and down? That doesn't sound like fun and games to you, does it? Not to me. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, for a minute. Hebrews 11, verses 35 to 38. That great faith chapter there, if I can get there soon enough. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Talking about the people of old and their often difficulties. He said, "Sometimes they quench," verse 34, "quench the violence of fire and escape the edge of the sword," verse 35. "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth." That doesn't sound like a lot of happy people, happy situations. And Paul said, you know, "All that will live godly shall suffer persecution." That is guaranteed. And the words of Scripture and the examples of God's people warn us, from one end of the Bible to the other, there's going to be trouble sometimes. Paul said, "All that will live godly shall suffer persecution." And how does the Bible describe the life of Christians? Sitting in a lawn chair, sitting in an easy chair on the lawn on a sunny day eating ice cream? Is that the way he describes it? No. Usually he describes our life in terms of struggle and hardship and testings. And he used some words in the Scripture, wrestling. Wrestling is never done, but it's a strenuous sport, I know. And Paul says, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle with principalities and powers." Wrestling, a fight. Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Warfare. "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day." And strife. "Striving together with us in prayers." And race. "Run with patience the race that's set before us." Contention. Jude says, "Earnestly contend for the faith." And all those phrases I just read, they all involve difficulty and hardship, and trial, and tears, and often suffering as well. And that's how God describes the Christian life many times. But God tells us something else. God does tell us in the midst of these things, we can still have love and joy and peace in our hearts and lives. We can have love, joy, and peace even with those problems. But we can't have love, joy, peace without those problems. Ever think about that? You see, there is no victory without warring. There is no prize without striving. There's no gain without suffering. There's no blessing without trials. But that's not the way we really like it. We want the victories and the blessings, but we just as soon do without the troubles and the trials. We kind of like the kids program. In, right up, right out, right down, right happy all the time. That suits us just fine. But it isn't always that way. And why is that? Well, one of the big reasons for that is we've got some enemies that keep us from being in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Three enemies God describes for us in Scripture: the world, and the flesh, and the devil. Now that'll upset all your joy and happiness if you let it. First of all, there's the world. What does he mean by the world? Well, that system around us, the thinking, the way the unsaved think. Carnality, material, it's things that count. Get the best you can and live like everybody else and enjoy as much money as you can and so on. That's the thinking of the world. And Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And then there's the flesh. That's an enemy. And that's the desires of the body. This flesh desires certain things, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But Peter says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's that battle again. And in 1 Peter 5:8, he talks about the deceiver, the destroyer. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he'll do anything to beat you down if he can. So what about your life? Problems, troubles, getting discouraged sometimes, maybe not. Maybe things are going well for you, that's great. But let me warn you, if things are going well, as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, one of these days, you're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems. See, Job had many wonderful years, then everything was gone. And Stephen, remember, he preached in Jerusalem for many weeks, and the crowds were multiplying, and hundreds of people were being saved, and oh, he was going great, and then they took him out and stoned him to death. And Lot, you know, he lived in luxury there in Sodom, and for years, then it all went up in smoke. And you may be fine and comfortable now, but God does not promise you, God does not guarantee you that that's going to continue for the rest of your life. And your troubles may be big, they may be small, but they will come. Some bad things are going to come your way. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you'll get the coronavirus. Maybe your dog bites the mailman. Well, the doctor says, sorry, but I've got some bad news for you. Well, the skies may be blue today, but someday the storm clouds may come. So, all these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they do all they can to make these bad things happen and take away our happiness and stir up trouble and make us miserable. But remember this, God is still in control. He's still in charge. All things still work together for good to them that love God. Paul guarantees us. And God is able to take the things that seem bad to us and turn them around for our good and for our blessings. There's value in the hard times that come in our lives. God has purposes for them. They're not just bad luck, accidents. No, they're things that God has a reason for allowing. So let me list for you some of the values that come from these hard times. Maybe you want to jot them down and or mark them in your Bibles. Got a little list of them here for you. First of all, these hard times, these difficulties, help to correct us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, that's everyone whom the Lord loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? All children need a chastening sometimes. And if they don't get it, they're getting shortchanged. We need that. Why do they need that? To correct them. To stop, get them over that habit of doing those bad things or living that way or acting that way or whatever. You want to change them. And so you have to chasten them. Sometimes you have to give them a licking. And that's necessary. So they can learn, this isn't good to do these things. I better change my ways. See? And so that problem that God sends may help to correct us. Secondly, these problems make us a better Christian. Refer to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Well, picked up this Bible and brought it along and it doesn't have 1 Peter. Somebody read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 for us, would you? Somebody got it there? Read it for us. How loud? Anybody? Speak up. I'm missing a page out of my Bible. Old Bible I don't usually use, but I did. Anybody read it for us? Somebody? Yeah, read it. Go ahead, brother. All right, after you've suffered a while, then some good things are going to happen. Make you perfect, that's the word for mature. And establish and strengthen and sell you. He'll make you more, a better Christian, more of what you ought to be through these hard things that come along. Well, they look bad, but that's good, right? All right, a third thing. These hard things help us to comfort others when they're in trouble. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 4. Talking about God. He says here, 2 Corinthians 1, 4. God who comforts us in all our tribulation. Oh, we have tribulation, yeah. You know, God comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What's he saying? Well, we have some hard times and find God's help and comfort and get through those hard times, then we'll run into somebody else that's got the same kind of problem and we'll be able to help them. That's not bad. That's good. That bad things turn to a good thing. See? And here's another advantage of these hard times. They teach us to be satisfied. Look with me at the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Verse 11. Paul's talking about his difficulties he's had in this verse, but he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Now, there were times when Paul didn't have enough to eat, didn't have the clothes he needed, he was cold and so on. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He had difficulties and problems and hard times and suffering. And so he says, "I learned something. Learned how to be content, satisfied with what God gave me. Satisfied he's going to take care of me." Well, that's a good thing. It certainly is. Here's something else. Go back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. These hard times often make us more fruitful. More fruitful for the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 2. He says, Jesus speaking, he says, "Every branch," parable of the vine and the branches, "every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Here's this grapevine, got some vines on it that are almost dead. They're not going to do anything. Cut them off. And here's some other ones. They're not producing anything. Cut them off. And does the vine say, "Oh, that hurts"? Well, I don't know, but it's good for that vine because it makes it more productive. And sometimes God sends into your life the things that hurt. Some things are cut off or cut out or taken away. And you feel bad about it. But maybe it's going to make you more fruitful. And that's good. Bad things become good. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 17 as soon as I get there. Verse 17. Oh, I mean 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4:17. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, now may not seem light, might seem like it's hanging on for a long time. He says, in comparison to the whole picture, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, what's that? Well, that's beyond our comprehension. But he's saying, in eternity, we're going to be rewarded. God's going to reward us in many ways for many things. And these afflictions we have now, they seem heavy, they're hard, they make us our heart ache, but they're going to produce more rewards in glory. And don't you think when you get those more rewards in glory, that you're going to say that was good? Imagine a runner, one of these marathon runners, and they run and train and run, they pant and their lungs hurt and their feet ache and they're suffering, but eventually they win a prize. Oh, that's great. It's worth it all. And so it is with us. These light afflictions work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. More than the troubles. No comparison. Every trial we endure brings reward and glory. Now, here's another verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. It tells us that these trials we have here give us a better entrance to heaven. 2 Peter 1:11 says it, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Entering into the kingdom. That's what we do when we get to heaven. We enter into God's glorious kingdom. And, you know, just to get into heaven, That's going to be just amazing. That'll take our breath away. The sights will be so glorious. Everything will be so wonderful. We'll just hardly be able to stand it. It'll be so wonderful. But that's just an ordinary entrance. He says, you do these things and these afflictions, and they're going to gain you an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Now, what could be more abundant than just entering into the kingdom in heaven? What could be more abundant than that? I don't know. Is there going to be a thousand voice choir? You did some good things, and God wants to give you an abundant entrance. There's going to be a thousand voice choir welcoming you when you come through the pearly gates of heaven? Or is Gabriel going to be there with a 100 trumpet band to play for you? Or maybe Paul and Moses are going to be in a reception committee to greet you and shake your hand. I don't know what an abundant entrance into the kingdom is, but if God says it's good, it's good. And that's one of the other things we gain through these difficulties and problems that we have here. And so that's a blessing. Now, so then, when the trials come, and they will come, maybe everything's good today. It might be bad tomorrow. But when the trials come, what do? Number one, take them to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, tell them all about your problems. Tell them how it bothers you, hurts you, whatever. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Secondly, tell him you know he has a good reason. You may not understand the reason. He may not let you know what the reason is, but God's got a good reason anyway. We know that all things work together for good them that love the Lord. Even hard times, trials, difficulties work together for good. So whatever God's reason is, it's a good one. And you tell that to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you've got a good reason. And then thirdly, remember, He will always be with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that Old Testament verse, when I go through the waters, you'll be with me. Through the fire, it won't burn me. God will get you through the difficult times. You remember that. As you go into that hard time, God's going to be there with you. And then fourthly, ask Him for the strength you'll need. Yes, Lord, it's hard. Give me the strength I need. Give me the patience, whatever it takes. And be sure that you're going to understand in glory. You'll understand the reason for it all by and by. So keep that in mind. Now let me read you the word of the good old hymn that we ought to know. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail on bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You know what's going on in our lives. We don't know, but You know what's going on. You know the reasons. And no good thing do You withhold from us. You always do what is right and what's best. Teach us to depend on You for it and to seek Your strength to endure it and to envision the glories You have for us in heaven. We pray. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's sing that song together, if you would.